Hey guys, welcome to the Tardy Cast. I am so happy that you are joining us again. Another Friday, another podcast. Remember, we keep these short so that you can listen to them on your way to work, picking up the kids, whatever you're doing, doing laundry, doing homework, and you can just get a little snippet, something that I think will be beneficial to parents, because we love our parents, and beneficial to our leaders, the ones that are, you know, working with our kids, and so that hopefully both of you can see the partnership you have with one another. So this week is killer. Paul Larez is here with me. We love Paul. He has been a volunteer with junior high. How long have you been a volunteer with junior high for?
Oh, got to be 3 years now.
3 years. And now you're in high school, so you're volunteering with high school.
Mm-hmm.
You moved up with your boys.
I did.
So for all the leaders, that's you're living what we want for every single leader, to feel the ownership, to be the steward of their kids and their relationships. So they, you know, moving from junior high to high school, that's great.
Absolutely.
And for parents, this is the kind of leader we want with your kids. This is the example, and so many leaders we have in junior high are like this. You are one of many examples of leaders that have jumped up. But this is the thing, parents. We love your kids so much that we find great leaders like Paul and his co-leader Paul, who's also named
Paul.
Yeah, also named Paul. All young Paul and old Paul.
Old Paul.
So, Paul, tell us what you've been a volunteer, you've been on staff with junior high over the summer, helping us with camp and just making things awesome.
Yeah.
All right, you're the best. You are also, you do stuff that probably no one else knows about.
That's true. I'm studying psychology right now at Biola University, and I'm getting my PhD in clinical psych. And some of my research lately has been on adolescents and how they view sexuality in the construct of the church.
Okay.
And so their own spirituality.
So let's just stop right there.
Yeah.
A lot of parents are listening to this and they're like, wait, what? We have PhD guys who are working in junior high? Yeah.
Yeah,
because it's pretty nuts. But that's the thing. Junior high and high school ministry, student ministries at Mariners, it's not just like, hey, you're young and fun and love playing dodgeball. Like, we have great leaders like you who mm-hmm. love playing dodgeball, having
oh,
fun,
absolutely.
And doing camp.
Yeah, and just being goofy.
And dressing up, being goofy.
Yeah.
But you come from a wealth of knowledge and education mm-hmm. in, you know, the professional field
right.
that lends to how you work with our students.
Uh-huh.
And that's just really an affirmation to you, but a quality of you as a leader and as a staff member.
Yeah.
So you're doing research and investigating a topic that I think is absolutely relevant right mm-hmm. now, sexuality in the church.
Yeah.
Not an easy one.
No.
One, it's very easy to shy away from.
Absolutely. And it's really difficult for a lot of students to talk about, especially parents to talk about. I think when I get in a conversation with a parent or even just someone who asks, what's your research on? And I tell them my topic, I kind of get some puzzled looks. I get some kind of defensiveness, even if they're someone who's been in the church for a long time, because no one really feels comfortable talking about sex in the context of their spiritual life. And I think that's something that we need to change the narrative on.
So can we just be honest? We don't talk about it enough as the church.
Correct.
We do a series now and then in student ministries. We're doing one in February called, in junior high, being called The Birds and the Bees. And in high school, I forget what they're calling it. But it's basically a sex series.
Right.
And for us, we're launching it with parents. So this is just a little plug.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a parent night with Jim Burns to launch this in February for the whole sex month. But it's under-talked about in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it's under-talked about in the church? Parents are probably thinking... So there's two parents out there.
Right.
One's probably saying, I'm happy it's not talked about that much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want my little kid their innocence. The other one is, we need to talk about it more because we see the ramifications of if we don't give students a godly perspective.
Right.
What do you think about that? Why do you think the church doesn't talk about it enough?
I think it's because it's a difficult conversation to have, and I think a lot of individuals haven't really clearly defined it for themselves. Like, what does it mean for them to be a sexual being? Because we've been created to be sexual beings. But to harness that within the context of obedience and spirituality and keeping a relationship to God and others, I think our culture inundates us with a lot of messages that says sexuality can be perceived only one way, that you can only be sexual as if you're acting out physically or emotionally, sexually. But you can be a sexual being, but still be in control of your desires. And you can be a sexual being and be a Christian. And that doesn't mean you go around having sex with random people, which I hope not.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you don't encourage that.
Mm-hmm.
But it means controlling your desires in a healthy way, giving your desires to the Lord, but then at appropriate times when it's healthy, to express those desires.
So it feels like what we typically do is sometimes hold girls. Now, I feel like I'm using a very worldly perspective.
Sure.
But I feel like that's perspective that sometimes is known more. I think that's sad that the worldly perspective is known more than the church.
Yeah.
That girls are judged harshly. Mm-hmm. And if they mess up sexually or have a healthy knowledge and grasp of their sexuality, it's actually looked down upon.
Sure.
But yet it is celebrated in men. If they act out sexually, they're considered studs, and that's actually something that is celebrated, which is completely unbiblical,
right,
and unhealthy and toxic. But using that as the starting point, what do you think that can lead to? So students that are taught the wrong things about sexual identity, what does that lead to later in life?
That's a great point that you bring up. We talk a lot about this in my doctoral program, of this kind of gender inequality, these gender roles for men and women. We talk about how women, if you're seen as too loose, that's a negative thing. But if you're too homely, that's kind of like what the standard is. If you're pure, if you're virginal, that's good. For men, if you're pure and virginal, that's seen as, oh, you're kind of a loser. You're not really that sexually active. You don't really have a lot of experience. No one likes you. Kind of some bad connotations go with that. But if you're a stud, if you sleep with a lot of women, that's seen as something that's positive, that's looked on by secular society as something really great. So your question was, what does that teach them for the future?
Mm-hmm.
That teaches kind of very black and white thinking. It teaches that I'm good if I sleep with a lot of women and mm-hmm. I have very sexually promiscuous behaviors and attitudes, which leads to studies have shown a lot more pornography use in men and women,
yeah,
in college, a lot more casual sex encounters in college, and more overall promiscuous behavior, reckless behavior, and a lot of substance use, alcoholism, drug use, things like that.
So for the parents who haven't, their eyes are still in their head, they haven't blown out of their head.
Sure.
The parents who haven't been listening to this while driving and have gotten into a car accident because their head is spinning.
Because it's a heavy topic.
Because it's a heavy topic. But the thing is, this is what I've learned over time, that, and it's an Andy Stanley thing, the principle mm-hmm. of the path,
yeah,
that our direction, not our intention, determines our destination.
Right.
So the direction we're on, where we're actually going, not where we intend to go, determines where we end up.
Mm-hmm.
No parent wants their kid to end up there.
Absolutely.
I've talked to tons of people. Kara Powell, we talked to her a while mm-hmm. ago. Jim Burns has affirmed this, you know, especially with females, a strong male father figure relationship that affirms them,
mm-hmm.
It leads to a huge decline in some of those risk factors.
Right.
So a girl that is told she's loved and
right.
she's beautiful and hears that from her father or from a healthy male figure, could be
yeah.
a youth pastor, could be a leader, but a man that affirms that in a healthy way typically will not go searching for that. Okay.
Right.
So using that as the springboard for this next question,
sure.
parents do not want that for their kids.
Yeah.
That's not the future any parent wants.
No.
So what can a parent do now? What little things? So you taking off the list, like dads affirm your daughters more, those are real things. What can moms and dads do? What other things can moms and dads do to make sure that they are on the right direction for where they want their kids to end up within their sexual identity, within relationships, mm-hmm. within their future?
Mm-hmm.
What can they practically do when they stop listening to this podcast that they can start doing with their kid?
I think just being open to having a healthy conversation early with their children and not being afraid, is this going to come off as me being too controlling or me being afraid or I'm afraid of talking about this subject with my children? I think there's a lot of studies that have shown, actually a colleague of mine at school is researching the topic that family communities and spiritual communities really help guide children in the right way to live and also help them figure out who they are and their place in the world. So if you can have an early conversation with your child and say, you know, let's talk about some difficult things in the context of our family. And if you can get your children involved in a community at church, whether that's a life group, a Bible study, community group, a safe place where they can talk to other parental type figures, other people that can be leaders in their lives, that can model what healthy spirituality is for them, I think that could go a long way into preventing some of those nasty behaviors that we talked about earlier.
So if I'm a leader, then how do I do this as a leader? How can I get, you know, leadership in my own life to the next level with students on this topic when it's not part of a series? So we're not doing a sex series. And here's the thing, parents, we don't tell leaders just to talk about this at camp. Mm-hmm. We actually mm-hmm. talk against that. Camp's not the place to talk about sexuality.
No,
that's not. Yeah. It's not. Every life group does not need to turn into a lesson on sexuality.
Sure.
But yet, this is a relevant topic that it'll come up at a time that we don't have a series scheduled. So how do I, as a leader, engage this discussion in a healthy way mm-hmm. that affirms the family, does mm-hmm. not take the conversation out of the hands of the family, mm-hmm. but I do it as a leader. And I think as a leader, you have a great insight.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I've always found really helpful is to communicate to the parents that you want to be partners with them and that you are not trying to take the place of their role in talking about this with them, but that you can be a resource for them as they parent their children to really walk alongside their child and say, if they have tough questions, if they're going through identity crisis, sexual identity, if they're having feelings, if they are doing things they shouldn't be doing, if they're looking at pornography, if they're sexting, these are all Snapchatting. These are all real things that are going on right now that are big topics. And I think sometimes parents are just unaware. So if the leaders can be almost kind of like the eyes and ears for the parent in those times that the leader is hanging out with the student, I think that can go a long way to not just be like a tattletale to the parent, but just keeping the parent informed. You know, I noticed that your son or daughter is exhibiting some kind of concerning behaviors. I just wanted to talk to you about it. He or she's asking more questions about their sexuality, asking about relationships and what do we do. Maybe they received a message and they're not sure what to do about mm-hmm, it from somebody mm-hmm, else. Mm-hmm. I think those are real relevant topics that are going on right now that need to be addressed, because if they're swept under the rug, whatever maladaptive behavior, and maladaptive, that just means like any kind of bad behavior that's going on, if left kind of unchecked or untalked about, is just going to continue and really not be a benefit to the student or their development.
All right, last question.
Yeah.
We as parents do not want our leaders sharing all the dirty history or the dirty secrets of their history. I said that wrong. Parents don't want the leaders, you know, and I'll include me in that. I became a Christian when I was young, and then I walked away from the church for 3 years, and I made a lot of mistakes. Most parents don't want their kid's leader laying out, or in another word, kind of glorifying the mistakes that they made during the sin part of their life.
Sure.
So how do you recommend, so I'm going to say ask two ways, do you recommend leaders having a level of openness about mistakes they've made, pornography, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, mm-hmm. Do you recommend parents? Now, I think that there's a percentage that's higher for parents to open up than maybe for leaders, but how would you kind of answer and kind of struck that?
I think there definitely needs to be an honesty. And when I say honesty, I mean that in a developmentally appropriate age level for the child. So you don't want to talk about every single boyfriend, girlfriend you had, what you did with them, at what age. I don't think that's appropriate mm-hmm, at any point mm-hmm. for a student who's 13, 14 asking these questions. But I think you definitely need to, as a parent or a leader, be open to saying truthfully, yes, I've made some mistakes, or yes, there's things that I wish I could do better next time. And I'm here to not tell you what to do, but to walk alongside you and try to help you make the best decisions possible for your life. So I think openness, a transparency with students goes a long way, goes a further way than saying, hey, just do this or do it because the Bible says to do it.
That's right. Listen, Paul, thanks for making the time for this. I think a lot of people are listening to this like, oh my gosh, Paul, like I did not know any. A lot of people probably have no idea that you have all of this in your like resume arsenal.
I'm a man of many secrets.
You are. Thank you so much for sharing time with us today.
Absolutely.
This has been so great.
Thanks
we
got
to do this again. I mean, you're part of the family. You're not from out of town or something.
No, I'm around.
So you're around, and I think it'd be great as you're tracking through your PhD work. Uh-huh. I think the more we can get together and just keep us up to date. What are you learning? And because I feel like as a PhD student, you're in the cutting edge of research.
Right.
You're getting all the new stuff, producing some of your own. Keep us up to date and let us learn with you. I think it would be great.
Sounds great. I'd love to be back.
Thanks so much. Hey, guys, thank you for checking out the Tardy Cast this week. Don't forget, you can send this off to other moms, other dads. It's very short. Listen to it on the way to school, dropping the kids off, driving, doing errands. Leaders, listen to it while you're doing homework, as you're driving around. TardyCast, you don't need to be late to leadership. Don't be late to leadership. Thanks for checking out TardyCast with us. See you guys this weekend.